We're joined now by Craig Memory from the Public Interest Advocacy Centre. We do know how much, about the jump in prices that power services have undergone this year, a huge jump at times. At the Public Interest Advocacy Centre, Craig, I suppose you're very much aware of that, are you?
Oh, absolutely. It's front of mind for us in our advocacy work representing New South Wales households and other users of energy.
So do you have any idea of the extent of the way it's affecting us?
Well, we know that after a few years of solid price rises and energy bills already more than doubling in the course of about 7 years, we've just had another 15 to 20% sudden price jump stacked on top of all that from around July this year for New South Wales households. And that levers a combination of things. It's sort of in the background, there's all of the extra costs that's gone into the poles and wires over the last few years. But on top of that, the cost of generating our energy in the energy system has gone up quite a lot for a few reasons. One is that there hasn't been a lot of investment in new generation because there's been a lot of uncertainty about energy policy, particularly around whether there's government support for clean energy or not. And at the same time, the cost of gas that we use, and we use gas directly, but we also use it to generate electricity, that's gone up a lot because we've started exporting gas and now we have to compete with exporters. So it's complicated, but there are a whole lot of things happening all at once, and unfortunately it's consumers that are suffering with higher prices as a result.
So you're saying that, in fact, there are some real costs that have been increased that are contributing to that price rise?
There are, but our concern is, and I guess the point that we'd always make, is that some of those costs could have been avoided and some of them can be avoided still, and there's more opportunity to stop prices from going higher still. Now that there's a bit of a shortage of generation of different types and concerns about stability, there's a bit of a rush to go and spend a lot of money now and making sure the system stays reliable. But we've got to be careful and make sure that we don't go and overspend. You know, a system that never ever has blackouts would be a very, very expensive one. And sure, we never want to have a blackout if it can be avoided. But the only way to avoid them completely would be to pretty much double energy prices by building everything twice. And I don't think that's what households would want.
I think you're probably right. So in the meantime, with what we've got, we as ordinary people, what can we do to reduce these costs?
Well, the first thing that most people can do is check your retail deal. Chances are, if you haven't signed on to a new retail deal in the last year, then there's a better deal out there for you that could probably save you 10 or 20%, possibly even more. Mm. So there are a few ways to do that. If you're internet savvy, jump on the web and go to Energy Made Easy, which is the government's independent website that helps you compare energy deals. It's the only independent site that you should actually use because it doesn't have retailers taking commissions. It's independent, mm-hmm. and it will help you compare energy deals. If you're not on the web, see if you can get someone to help you access that. Even if you can't do that, though, you could still do something. You won't make as much of a saving, but even if you just call your existing retailer and say, put me on the best deal that you've got, then you'll probably save money compared to where you are now, because energy is unfortunately something where loyalty is not rewarded. If you just stay with your retailer and you don't let them know that you're shopping around, chances are they won't give you the best deal.
Well, that sounds like a really good two-pronged attack to attack those costs. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Craig.
No worries, Jane, anytime.